Thank you, Rabbi Turetsky. It's always a pleasure to have an opportunity to address you guys, and especially now in the beginning of the year. It's an extra special pleasure. We are about to really embark, for those of us in the Ashkenazic world, the Sfardim have already begun, but in the Ashkenazic world, we are beginning Slichos on Motzei Shabbos, and we're really beginning the countdown to Rosh Hashanah. And I'd like to speak for just a minute or two about what I believe is a very, very important principle about Rosh Hashanah, and something which I think that if we look at it and we study it, it will give us a new perspective on Rosh Hashanah. We typically know of Rosh Hashanah as a Yom HaDin. It's a day of tshuva, a day of judgment. And yet there's some elements of the day of some of our great writers that doesn't really seem to reflect the fact that it's a Yom HaDin. It's a day of tshuva. We're told something very strange. Take a look at the first source on your sheet here. The Zohar teaches us that we're not supposed to mention Vidui on Rosh Hashanah, and therefore in the Avinu Malkeinu that we say, we're supposed to skip the Avinu Malkeinu Shechatanu Lefanecha, that we sinned before you. Seemingly very strange. If anything, on the Yom HaDin, the day of tshuva, we would think the first and foremost thing that we would mention is that we sinned before God. And yet, says the Zohar, strike that Avinu Malkeinu. Say all the other ones, but that one, it's number three, I think. Skip Avinu Malkeinu Chatanu Lefanecha. There's another interesting practice you might not be familiar with. It's brought down here in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Noagim Shelo Lecho Egozim Veluzim. He egos begamatria chait. What's an egos? A nut. There's a minhag not to eat nuts on Rosh Hashanah because it's the gematria of chait. Now we'll forget for now that it's actually not the gematria of chait. It doesn't exactly equal egos and chait. That's not my point for tonight. My point is just etzem this identification that chait, egos, don't eat nuts because it reminds us of sin. So, we don't want to be remembered about sin on Rosh Hashanah, God forbid. It's Rosh Hashanah. It's the Yom HaDin. Tshuva. We've been talking all Elul. Tshuva, tshuva. Slichos, tshuva. Return to Hashem. All of a sudden, the big day comes. No one wants to talk about it. Don't even serve nuts because it's almost the gematria of chet. So you shouldn't serve any nuts on Rosh Hashanah. We also find a machlokas in the Gemara about, really amongst the Tanoim, what should you say when you're saying vidui? And Rabbi Akiva says that you shouldn't mention any sin when you're saying vidui. Whenever you're saying vidui, don't mention sin. Better to remain quiet. Take a look at the third source in Maseches Yuma. Tzorich lifrod es achet. The first opinion says you need to mention sin. Which sins you did. Lifrot. To be specific. Mention the sins. Shenemar ana chata mazeh chata gedol v'yasu lahem elokei zahav. What's this pasuk? What's the context? Who's talking? What's it about? Chayda Egel, right? What? Who's speaking? Moshe Rabbeinu saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, they sinned, they worshipped a golden calf, but come on, forgive them. That seemingly would be a great paradigm for how to do tshuva. And we see there that Moshe Rabbeinu mentions the specific sins. The first opinion of the Tanoim here says you should mention the type of sin. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Ashrei Nosoi Pesha, Kisoi Chet, Chata'a. It's important to cover your sins. Don't mention them. Keep them secret. Keep them hidden. Opinion of Rabbi Akiva, better not to mention your sin. That's strange. It's tshuva. Shouldn't we mention the sins that we're trying to get tshuva for? I'm sorry. Tell your brother you're sorry. I'm sorry. You're sorry for what? Nothing. I didn't do anything. Tell him you're sorry. I'm sorry. Aren't you supposed to mention why you're sinning? Isn't that the first thing that your parents tell you? Apologize. Apologize for what you did. Why are we not mentioning what we did? Are we missing something here about what tshuva is all about? I'd like to take a look at another source. This is the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva. Says the Rambam, in the beginning of every section of the Rambam first has a koteret, where he tells you the basic theme of what he's going to be discussing in those halachos, and then he starts in the halacha section telling you the specific laws. Says the Rambam, Hilchos Tshuva, mitzvah aseh achas. One mitzvah in this section of halachos. V'hu sheyoshev hachoteh mecheta'o. This is that a person should repent from his sins, lifnei Hashem, before God, v'yisvadeh, and he should say vidui. Then he tells us, biur mitzvah zu, v'ikarim ha'nigrarim ima, biglala, beprakim elu. And I'll also explain some other fundamental concepts that flow from the mitzvah of tshuva. Now again, the Rambam tells us in the halachas, kol mitzvah shebetorah, bein asei, bein lo sasei, any mitzvah, positive, negative commandment, im over adam alachas mehem, bein bezadon, bein bishkaga, whether he does it willingly, whether he does it accidentally, kishiyase tshuva, when he does tshuva, v'yoshuv mecheto, and he returns, he repents from his sin, chayiv lehisvados, and here are the key words again, lifnei hakel. I underlined in my Rambam the words lifnei Hashem in the koteret and the words lifnei hakel baruch hu in the halachos. Why does the Rambam, who doesn't mince words and he's very careful with his words, why does he stick in the words lifnei Hashem? Is this just poetic? Maybe if it was just in the halachos, I would tell you it's a little bit poetic. Lifnei hakel baruch hu. But in the koteret, where he succinctly is telling you in as few words as possible what he's going to be discussing in these halachos, he is very careful to be madgish, to stress that the mitzvah of tshuva is to do vidui lifnei Hashem. Why the stress on lifnei Hashem? Why is that so crucial? And I want to continue in the Rambam. Unfortunately, I forgot to put it on the source sheet here, so I'm going to have to read it. You're going to have to trust me that this is what the Rambam says. The Rambam continues in this first halacha, and he outlines for us how to do tshuva. You might be familiar with this. It's a very famous Rambam. So the Rambam says, this is what you have to say. Ana Hashem, chatasi, avisi, pashati lefanecha, I sinned. V'yasisi kach v'kach, and I did this and that. You see the Rambam doesn't hold like who? Like Rabbi Akiva, right? He says you should say what you did. V'hare nichamti, and I'm, what's nichamti? I what? I regret. Uboshti b'masai, and I'm embarrassed. Uliolam eni chozer l'davar zeh. So I want to ask another question. Why is embarrassment such a crucial element of the tshuva process? To say what I did, I understand. Say what I did. To say I regret it, granted also, you got to regret it. I'm embarrassed by it? Okay, I can imagine us snooping that in. But is there some type of significance to the fact that there's supposed to be an emotion of embarrassment? It's a little bit out of order, but I quoted for you here three psukim in Tanakh that also seem to always associate busha with tshuva. Yirmiyahu Anavi, boshti v'gam nechlamti ki nosasi cherpas n'urai. I have to bear the burden of my sins of my youth, and I'm embarrassed by them. Yirmiyahu says again, I know it's the same pasuk, and it's the same pasuk, yeah, same pasuk. Okay, we'll go on to the next one. Ezra, v'omra elokai, boshtin v'nichlamti. Ezra says, I said, I'm embarrassed, I'm disgraced. Why is busha such a crucial element in the tshuva process? So, to address some of these issues, again, Rosh Hashanah is a Yom HaDin. Why are we told by the Zohar not to mention that chatasi lefanecha? Why are we not supposed to mention sin? Why don't we eat nuts just because it reminds us of sin? Really one question. Why are we avoiding sin? Question number two. Why does Rabbi Akiva think we shouldn't mention sin when we do tshuva? Granted, the Rambam doesn't hold like Rabbi Akiva, but what's Rabbi Akiva thinking? Why does Rabbi Akiva think that we shouldn't mention sin? Number three. Why does the Rambam stress the element of lifnei Hashem? Why is that so crucial that the Rambam needs to write it twice in the span of a few words? And the fourth point, what is the significance of busha? Is it just Stam, you know, you should be embarrassed. You did a bad thing. Or is there maybe something deeper going on with Busha? So to address these four questions, I would like to share with you what I think is a life-changing yesod in Shuva. I know that ever since I've learned this, it's given me a different perspective on how to approach Rosh Hashanah and how to approach my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I'll start with a mashal. If a husband and wife get into an argument, they get into a fight with each other. Let's say the husband says something that he shouldn't have said. Maybe he says something that doesn't show his wife that he really appreciates everything she does for the family. He comes home one day and he says, how can you do this? You know, you never invest in preparing dinner, and therefore it got burned, you forgot about it, it's not important to you. So she's very offended by what he said. How can you say that to me? Why don't you make dinner once in a while? She's upset, they get into an argument. Okay, now he feels bad and he wants to do tshuva. So how does he do tshuva? So there are two approaches to doing tshuva. Approach number one is he comes to his wife and he starts listing the things that he did. Sorry I said that, and I'm sorry I said that, and I shouldn't have said that about you and that, and then I know I got really angry and I said that. And he lists everything that he did. That's one way to get, perhaps, forgiveness from your wife. But there is another approach, and that is to walk in and to say, you know what, I'm not here to mention everything that I did. I recognize that the reason I said that is because I don't respect you enough. I don't appreciate you enough. And I want to let you know that I've been thinking about it, and I realize how much you do for me and for the family, and I really, really appreciate you. I promise that at that point, she's not going to say to him, okay, but what about all those things you said? When she sees that he has identified the core problem, right? We all know that when you're sick, you can take an Advil, which will sometimes take care of the problem, right? But if your arm is cut off, and your arm hurts, and the blood is oozing out of your arm, and your hand is on the floor, taking an Advil is not going to solve the problem. You need to deal with the issue, which is that your hand has been chopped off. And if you ignore what's the real issue, so it's a very superficial approach to what you're trying to fix. And it's true in relationships, and it's certainly true with tshuva. Every sin, on a very, very real and yet very, very deep level, every sin reflects, and get this line down because I think it's important. Every sin reflects a certain level of a lack of God consciousness. Every time I sin, it always reflects that I'm not fully conscious of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. In the very beginning of Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah quotes from the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim. Says the Rambam, here it's quoted from the Shulchan Aruch, Ki ein yeshivas adam utznu osav v'iskav v'hu levado bebeiso. Everybody knows that when the door is locked and the shades are drawn, a person acts differently, dresses differently, acts differently. Kishi yeshivaso v'tznu osav v'iskav v'hu lefnei melech gadol. Melech gadol. A person acts differently when he's in the presence of other people, certainly dignitaries and distinguished people, than how he acts when he is alone in his house and the doors are locked and the shades are drawn. V'lo diburo barchavas piv kirtsono v'huim anshe beso v'krovav. We all know that when you're sitting around the table or sitting in the living room with your family, you talk in a certain way. Kediburo b'moshev ha-melech. And if you're sitting in front of someone you really, really respect, a rebbe, a teacher, so you speak differently than when you speak when you're just relaxing with a close friend. Kol shekein kishiyasim ma'adam el libo shemelech hagadol hakadosh baruch hu asher malei kol olam kvuda kvodo omed olav v'roav v'maisav. Certainly a person should act differently when they're in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when they realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is found in the world, in the room that he's in. If a person hides, the anilo erenu, if a person runs away and hides in the bottom of a boat sailing to Tarshish, I don't know where he is. I can't find him. If a person locks himself in a cave, Shem says, I don't know where they are. Miyad yagia lo fayira. If a person would only recognize this, immediately they'd be overcome with awe, the hachna, and subjugate themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, uboshto mimenu tamid, and always be embarrassed before God, or have shame before God. Every sin contains at its core a certain element of kfirah. Because every sin states that I don't really believe that God is standing here watching my actions. If a person is standing in the Ela, and it's the end of Yom Kippur, and the entire congregation is screaming, Hashem hu Elokim, Hashem hu Elokim, nobody's thoughts at that time are on sin. Why? Because you feel the presence of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. It's palpable. You can feel it in the room. And when you feel a Kaddish Baruch Hu's presence, you're not thinking about sin. You're not scheming to sin. If a person was really conscious of a Kaddish Baruch Hu at every wakey moment, they wouldn't sin. Sin always reflects, on some level, a lack of consciousness of a Kaddish Baruch Hu's presence. And this, I think, strikes at the core of what real tshuva is about. Real tshuva is not about turning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and saying, I'm sorry I did this, and I'm sorry I did that. That's like the pathetic slave standing in front of the master and listening, I'm sorry I forgot to do this, and I'm sorry I didn't realize that you wanted me to do this well and this. The real form of tshuva is to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I realize I sinned. I know I did things, but let's not talk about the details. I'm here to strike at the core. I'm here to focus on the real ailment. I don't want to just strike at the symptoms. I want to solve the disease. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I realize that I did not appreciate you enough. I wasn't conscious of you enough. I didn't have the proper perspective of you as my melech. This, I think, begins to explain to us why the Zohar is so stuck on not mentioning sin. If you're mentioning sin on Rosh Hashanah, it means you don't really yet identify the core problem. Because if you identified the core problem, you wouldn't be dealing with the symptoms. You'd be going at the real issue. You'd be trying to fix your consciousness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then all of the sins memelo disappear. Those were all based on our old relationship. This is the new us, God. I really now appreciate who you are. Those sins will never happen again. And a person who mentions sin, who thinks about sin, it means he's not focusing on the core element of tshuva. And I think this also gives a great depth to why shame is a vital element of tshuva, busha. When does a person get embarrassed? A person's embarrassed when they know that somebody has seen them do something wrong. You know, like when you're walking in a room and you trip and you fall and you drop all your books, and the first thing you do is you look around the room to see if anybody saw. It's the first thing you do. Why? Because if somebody saw, you're very embarrassed. And if nobody saw, so you're fine. Why? Because busha, embarrassment, is really about if somebody sees what happened. When God is distant from man, or perhaps I should say it in the right way, when man is distant from God, you know the mashal of Rav Dessler. Rav Dessler says it's like the sun. The sun always shines equally bright on each day. The reason why sometimes there's more sun and sometimes there's less sun is because of the clouds in the sky. I'm not talking now about, I know that there's a certain type of orbit and therefore sometimes the earth is more distant and sometimes there's an eclipse. On a regular day, forgetting about those astronomical features for right now. When the clouds are in the sky, it's cloudy day, it's not as bright and sunny. Why? Because the sun has diminished its rays? No, the sun is as brilliant that day as it was the day before. It's because there's something blocking. Kaddish Baruch Hu is never distant from you. It's just that we erect barriers between ourselves and a Kaddish Baruch Hu, so the light of Hashem is not as bright. But when man is distant from God, when man operates as if God isn't watching, man is not embarrassed by his sins. Because he looks around the room, right? Vayifen cho v'cho, vayar ki yenish. And therefore he's not embarrassed anymore. Because man looks around and God isn't here, so I'm not embarrassed by my sin. And therefore, perhaps it's vital in tshuva to be embarrassed. Because what does embarrassment show? That I recognize God's presence now. I'm embarrassed because I realize somebody is watching. Take a look at what Rabbeinu Yonah has to say. V'hinei achote yavush ma'od lavur averos lefnei b'nei adam. People are very embarrassed to do things in front of other people. Oh gosh, I hope they didn't see what I just did. Think you saw? And certainly if they recognize that someone has seen them sin, so how are you not embarrassed in front of God? God was there when you sinned. It's obviously for only one reason. You don't really sense God in the room. And that's why you're embarrassed from other people. And you're not embarrassed from Hashem, by Hashem. Amru Rabu Seinu Zechron Levracha in Brachos. Bishop Tiras Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. Amru Lo Tamidav. When Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai passed away, his student said to him, obviously before he passed away, Rabbeinu, Barchenu, bless us, Rabbeinu. Amar Lahem, Yiratzon Shei Mora Shemayim Aleichem, Kemora Basar Badam. You should be as scared of God as you are of man. Now Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai was a great rabbi. And he's dying, let's say he's dying at the age of 80. His prime students are not young children. They're 65-year-old men. They have long white beards. They're sitting there stroking their beards as he's speaking. And he's telling them, you should fear God as much as you fear man. So they're a little offended. They're big rabbis. So they turned to him and they said, Rabbeinu, ad kan velo yoser? That's the biggest bracha we get? That we should fear God as much as we fear men? Amar lahem halavai. It should only be. Teidu, shari adam over aver b'seser. People sin secretly. The Omer, Halavai lo yirani ha'adam. I hope nobody saw me do that. If all sin stems from a lack of consciousness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God consciousness, so then tshuva is most highlighted by shame, by the reintroduction of God consciousness. This explains the Gemara that at first glance is very hard to understand. Take a look at the last source on the sheet. Kol ha'osa davar avera u'mizbayish bo mochlim lo akol avonosa. An amazing statement. Anyone who does a sin and he's mizbayish, he's embarrassed by that sin, he gets mechila on all of his sins. So if you asked me what pshat in this Gemara is, I would have probably said, you know what it means? It means if you do a sin and it's really, really embarrassing and it's done in front of a lot of people, and therefore you feel like so embarrassed, that busha is so great that it's a kapara for all your other sins. Maybe that's the pshat. But I think there's a much deeper understanding now. Anyone who does a sin, and they've already done sins in the past, but today I do a sin, and immediately I feel busha. Busha in front of who? In front of Hashem. So mochen lo akol avonosa. Why? Because of the Rosh Hashanah principle. Because when you introduce that God consciousness, automatically it erases everything that's happened in the past. Why? Because you fix the problem at the core. You no longer need to address all those specific sins. It's mochlin lo al kol avonosav. Because a person is connected to busha. It's connected to God consciousness. And with this, I think we can return back to the Rambam. Remember the words of the Rambam? The Rambam, in his succinct lashon, as short as he could, he said, what's the mitzvah of tshuva? Sheyoshuv hachote micheto lifnei Hashem v'yisvadeh. Why does the Rambam add the words lifnei Hashem? And I would like to suggest to you that the Rambam says lifnei Hashem. I believe Rav Soloveitchik made the suggestion. That lifnei Hashem strikes at the core of what tshuva is all about. Tshuva is about recognizing that you stand before God. And therefore, the essence of tshuva is to be lifnei Hashem. What do we say on Yom Kippur? Ki bayom hazeh yechaper aleichem u'tayr eschem mikol chatoseichem lifnei Hashem titaru. And what does it say in the Chassidish Sfarim? If you're lifnei Hashem, then you're titaru. The way to gain that tahara, the way to gain that absolution from your sins, is to be living with a recognition of lifnei Hashem. To be lifnei Hashem. This is why Rosh Hashanah has another theme to it. And that is the theme of Hamelech. Coronation of the king. Why is Rosh Hashanah both the day of tshuva and the day of kingship? Now you might have said, because listen, who's the one who's going to punish you? The king's going to punish you, so this is the day of the king. But that's not why it's the day of the king. That's not why the entire davening is focused on HaMelech, Hamelech. Why do we keep mentioning Hamelech HaKadosh? Hamelech HaMishpat? Because the avoda of Rosh Hashanah is to recognize, to be mekabel o malchus shamayim, to recognize Hashem is my king. Hashem is the creator. He is the one who's here. His presence is here. He is the true ruler of the world. If a person is able to be mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then they are connecting to the avoda of Rosh Hashanah. This is the tremendous simcha of Rosh Hashanah. It's brought down in Chabad Sfarim, and as well, the Gra brings it down, that the shofar sound is supposed to represent the trumpets that are announcing the coronation of the king. The king is coming. The king is coming. The king has arrived. I would like to suggest, it doesn't just mean that the king is visiting. It's a trumpet that's heralding the inauguration of the king, your inauguration of the king. Because until now you sinned. You know why you sinned? Because God wasn't really your melech. And today, you turn around and you say, I'm not mentioning sin. And I'm not eating nuts. Because I don't want to even hint to sin. And I'm not going to mention my sins if I'm hold like Rabbi Akiva. And I'm going to be embarrassed and I'm going to have shame from what I did. And I'm going to be lifnei Hashem. Because today, I initiate a new relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No more of that old relationship where Hashem was just a sideline character. No, no, no. Hashem is my king. I will make him my king. And those shofros, those trumpets, are, as the Gemara says, kidei shetamlichuni aleichem, in order so that we can inaugurate Hashem upon us. The trumpet doesn't just announce that the king is visiting. The trumpet is announcing the appointing of the king. Your appointing of your king. And that's the tremendous simcha of Rosh Hashanah. That's why there are certain Rishonim who hold that it's usher to fast on Rosh Hashanah. Wouldn't fasting be a very appropriate thing to do for tshuva? Isn't fasting a form, a way of achieving tshuva? Normally it is, but not on Rosh Hashanah. Because fasting takes away from simcha. And Rosh Hashanah is a glorious and happy day. Because today, I'm always going to celebrate Rosh Hashanah. It's my inauguration with my new relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the day that I make Hashem my God. That is what I think is the essence of tshuva. Certainly, the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah. Perhaps it's what the Sifrei Kabbalah call tshuva iloi, which means higher tshuva. There might be a lower path to tshuva, but the high road to tshuva, the high road to tshuva is achieved by recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's glory and His presence, and being more conscious of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I'd like to end with a very nice vort that I think will also hopefully help you with your avoda and your trying to be mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because trying to gain that God consciousness is a very daunting task. To really every moment of the day to be conscious of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not easy. We say in the davening, in one of the beautiful piyutim of V'chol Ma'aminim, we say that Hashem is poseach shar l'dofkei b'tshuva. He opens the gate for those who knock for tshuva. The gate seemingly is closed and Hashem is, He opens up if we just knock. But the Beis Halevi asks, what does that mean? Why are we saying that in the middle of davening? The gates are open. That's the whole purpose of Rosh Hashanah. We've been opening up the gates for all of Elul. What do you mean? If we knock b'tshuva, Hashem opens the gates. Aren't the gates already open? So the Beis Halevi says a really great mashal. Imagine it's dark and it's cold and you're out in the forest and it's snowing and you're freezing and all you want is a warm house to warm up in. And sure enough, there you see a house. A light is on. There's smoke coming out of the chimney. You run over to the house and you start pounding on the door. Little wolf, right? Let me in. You're knocking. This wind is howling. You hear people inside, but nobody's answering the door. And you knock, and you knock, and you knock, and nobody answers. You spend the night in the cold. And in the morning when you wake up and there's light, you realize that you were knocking on the side of the building. If only you would have knocked on the front door, someone would have answered. You were just missing the door. You were knocking on the side of the building. Says the Beis Halevi, that's what it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens for those who are knocking. yes, there are kavanas to have, and there's approaches to having the perfect and most amazing Rosh Hashanah davening. But we're not always zocha to that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, though, all He wants is for us to try a little bit, for us to care. Hashem says, if you knock, even if you're not knocking on the door, I'll be poseach shar. Poseach shar doesn't mean I'll open a gate. A gate's already open. Poseach shar means I will make for you a gate. If you knock, if you try, Hashem says, I will be poseach shar. I will open a gate. Whether you're knocking on the front door or you're knocking on the side of the building, I will open up if you try. Hashem should help all of us that this Rosh Hashanah, we should have an opportunity to really stop and to think. It's important to daven, obviously, to take the quiet moments during davening, to think a little bit, to contemplate, what's my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Am I conscious of Him enough in life? Do I feel His presence? Do I base my standards on what other people think of me? Or do I base them on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's standards? And hopefully, if we have those kavanas, if we try, that's what Hashem wants. Mevakshei Hashem, we're told. Yismach leiv mevakshei Hashem. Hashem doesn't want people who succeed necessarily. He wants people who try. For those who try, Hashem gives tremendous siyata d'shmaya. So Hashem should help all of us that we should come to Rosh Hashanah with a real and sincere desire to be conscious of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if we are conscious of Hashem, so hopefully Hashem's consciousness of us will be felt and we will all merit a tremendous yantiv and a ksiva v'chassima tova. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Lipovitz. Thank you so much.